in your life when things seem so messed up that you could not see that light at the end of the tunnel? Well, Steve Nomalley has been in both of those situations that I just mentioned. Steve has been kind and gracious enough to share us an amazing story, and I want you to welcome my friend, my brother in Christ, Mr. Steve Nomalley.
I'm very thankful for this opportunity Higher Focused Ministry has given me to share with you. You know, they have a great event out here today, but I know that they work year-round for our children and parents, and I just want to thank each one of them. You know, Amarillo is a great place for a kid to grow up. It's not because of our 100-degree weather in the summer. It's not because of our beautiful flat terrain, but it's the people. My family moved to Amarillo in 1963. I started the eighth grade at Crockett Junior High. My home life was not a happy one. My stepfather and I did not get along. My stepfather was an angry man. He was a man that seemed as he was mad at the world, who once told me, a friend is someone who wants something you have. And when you don't have anything else he wants, you won't have a friend anymore. He was a man who had a lot of hate in him. He was a very prejudiced man. He once told me, the white race is superior to all races because the white man has a larger brain. You know, we know that's a lie. I tell you, God makes each man and woman, and God don't make no trash. He was an ungodly man. You could even say he was an atheist. He told me one time, all those Bible stories you hear about, they're just like fairy tales. He said, now, there might be something to this reincarnation, but I doubt it. When you're dead, you're dead. My mother also had bad feelings towards the church and towards Christians. She told me, she said, those Christians are all hypocrites. And those churches, all they want is your money. Our home was not a happy home. It seemed as though we hated the world and the world hated us. Thankfully, I went out for football that eighth grade year over at Crockett. My football coach not only coached me in football, but he was a friend, a good example for me. Right here, I'd like to stop and encourage all you teachers and coaches and anyone who reaches out to our children. Please remember how much you can make a difference in their lives. I was lucky. I had great coaches all through junior high and high school. And I had to tell you, that's probably the biggest reason I stayed in school. When I was in high school, I met the love of my life, my best friend and my future wife, Donna Camden. She is and was beautiful, smart, and a church-going girl. Now, while we were dating, she invited me to go to church with her several times. And I did go a few times. But I went with a cold heart. I remember sitting in church beside her. And the preacher would get up in front of the church and he'd tell everyone how much God loved them and cared about them. I just couldn't stand it when I heard that. And I would get up right in the middle of the church service and walk out because my heart was cold. After I graduated from high school, I joined the Marines. After boot camp and ITR, I came back to Amarillo and married Donna. She has been one of my greatest blessings from God. And you know, that goes to show you God even blesses you sometimes when you don't bless Him. In 1979, my life was not good. My marriage was not good. I was living for myself. I was working for Brown and Root Construction. We were building the Owens Corning plant here in Amarillo. I was a pipe fitter. My job was to keep three or four welders busy welding pipe every day. One morning as we were getting ready to go to work, the general pipe foreman came over to me. He said, "Steve, I have a new welder for you to work with." He introduced us and walked off. After he walked off, I told the new welder, I said, "Hey, man, come on in a little early tomorrow. We all get together and tell some jokes and just BS around. And, you know, if you need some good drugs, you might be able to find them right there." The new welder looked at me and said, "No thanks." I thought to myself, what's his problem? Doesn't he know who I am? I'm one of the tough guys. You don't want to get on the wrong side of me. So I asked him, "What's your problem?" He looked at me and said, "I heard y'all talking this morning, and I don't think God wants you to talk that way. He don't want you telling dirty jokes and cursing." And I could smell what was coming out from over there. I could smell the marijuana. I looked at him, I thought to myself, boy, I must have me one of them holy rollers. I turned to the welder and said, "Well, I tell you, I don't believe in God. What do you think about that?" The welder looked me straight in the eye and said, "I feel sorry for you." We worked together for the rest of the day, but not one word was spoken between us unless it had to do with work. As we were leaving work that day, the welder came over to me. He said, "I wrote down a little scripture reference on this little piece of paper." He said, "When you get home tonight, you might get your Bible out and look it up, see what it says." I didn't say anything when he handed it to me. I just grabbed it, rolled it up, stuck it in my pocket. And as I was walking off, I said, "Well, I don't even know if we have a Bible." I said, "Maybe my wife has one," and just kept walking. That night, as I was taking off my clothes, emptying the pockets of my jeans, there was that little crumpled piece of paper. I unrolled it, looked at it, and he had written John 3:16. I was curious. I wonder what that holy roller's talking about here. So I got my wife's Bible, looked it up. It said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You know, I thought, well, that's all right, but it don't mean a lot to me. The next day, as we were leaving work, the welder came over to me again, handed me another little piece of paper, crumpled up. I didn't say anything. I just stuck it in my pocket and walked off. And the next day, we were leaving work. The welder came again, gave me another little piece of paper. This went on for 3 weeks, every day. He never asked me if I was reading or looking up those scriptures, but I was. I would go home every night, pull out the Bible, and look them up. They were beginning to make some sense to me. During lunch at work, all of us guys would gather together, get our sack lunches out, sit down, talk and tell jokes. But I always noticed the welder, he would sit a little ways away from us. While he's eating his lunch, he'd pull out his New Testament and read. After 3 weeks of getting this little pieces of paper, I couldn't stand it anymore. One day I walked over to him at lunch. I said, "What are you reading?" He looked at me, he said, "Sit down and I'll tell you." So I sat down beside him and he started sharing the Lord's word with me. Every day for 2 weeks we sat down together at lunch. And he shared, and we talked about God's word. He told me the good news that's in the New Testament. One day, the welder invited my family and I to visit his church. I thought, this is where it ends. I'm going to go in there, and those people are going to turn away from me. Me and my wife talked it over, and we decided to go. I went and visited this church, and I want you to know, it was amazing. That Sunday school teacher, that preacher, they all said the same things we had been talking about the salvation that we can have. You know, after I visited this church with my family for a couple of weeks, I decided that I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I did. And I want you to know, from the moment I turned my life over to Jesus, I have had a spirit of peace that tells me God loves me and He wants me to do good. That God, He wants me to tell others that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For the last 8 years, I have been honored and privileged to be an elder of one of our local congregations. On June 9th, 2006, I was in a church van coming back from Mexico. I'd gone over with our youth group at church on a mission trip. We had a great time. We learned a lot. As we were returning from our mission trip, and I want you to know, my wife was planning on going with us, but at the very last moment, it ended up that she had to take care of the grandchildren. As we were returning, all the kids were trying to call home on their cell phones, but they couldn't get a signal. All of a sudden, our youth minister's phone rang. He answered it. It was my daughter. He pulled the van over to the side of the road. He told me he needed to speak to me. And we got out of the van. We walked to the side of the road. He put his arm around me. He said, "That was your daughter on the phone. And she told me that your wife has had a massive stroke. And they don't know if she's going to live through the night. We had a prayer together. He told me, I want to tell the kids in the van what's going on. I said, okay. We went back to the van, and we told the kids, and we all had a prayer together. And then we hurried to Amarillo. I got to Amarillo at 11:30 that night. Ran into the hospital where Donna was supposed to be. Up in the waiting room, I looked around and there was probably at least 70 people from my local congregation praying and taking care of my family. For 2 weeks, Donna was in ICU. The doctor said it was touch and go every day. They didn't think she'd live another day, but she kept on going. I truly believe my wife is here today because of all the prayers that were offered up to God for her. After teaching and coaching in the Amarillo Independent School District for 31 years, in 2006, my Donna had to retire from a job she loved and cared about the kids, but she couldn't do it anymore. The left side of her body had been paralyzed by the stroke. I told God how much I needed her, and he answered my prayer. Thank you, God. I've had the honor and the privilege of taking care of Donna the last 5 years, being her caretaker. I thank God every day for the blessing of having Donna, my love, with me. I don't know what I would do if she wasn't with me. We've been married for 43 years. It hurts me to see her struggle with her broken body. But I want you to know, Donna and I have put our faith in God, who does not lie, and has promised there will be a time coming when there will be no more sickness or tears or the trials we all face in this life. But there will be love and peace and joy and celebration. We will celebrate the victory Jesus Christ has given to all who accept it. Now, I know he didn't want me to do this, but before I stop, I want you to know that I feel very blessed today because that welder, that man who stood up to me and for his God, is here with us today. I will always owe him a debt I cannot pay. He is my true brother in our common faith. He has always been a true example for me. And I want you to know who he is. Steve Patterson, the old welder, would you come up here? He wasn't always. He is my true brother in Christ. I don't know where I'd be today if it wasn't this guy strong enough to stand up for God.
Amen.
And I do owe you a debt I will never be able to pay.
No, you don't. Thank God for you.
And I thank all of y'all for being here today And let's encourage these bands. They have some great music today. Thank you.